The button has been buttoned. I'm
only 12 minutes later than schedule. We're starting early.
A new record.
Okay. The button has been buttoned?
The button has been buttoned.
Okay. Last time in Plus Ultra, our adventurers, having conquered a few ghosts, a few skeletons, and a tragically short-lived chimera, returned to the ceremonial chamber only to find that a larger chimera, having heard the death cry of its rival, had come to investigate. The group dispatched this monster as well, then descended farther into the dungeon, investigating as they went. On the second level of the depths, they found an unlit labyrinth, filled with the skeletal corpses of those who had attempted it before, and their ghosts, still haunting the halls, burdened by the knowledge that their offerings had never made it to the central treasure room. The group managed to avoid infuriating these ghosts, and instead gathered the corpses' offerings and carried them to the center, where they found a sinkhole that led deeper still, into a cavern lit only by phosphorescent fungus. They passed by the body of the former lord of the castle, slain as he'd entered the caverns, and a few more ghosts. Those of the lord's guards, who'd pursued his killer into the caverns and been killed themselves for their efforts. And, beyond fallen rock, amid the glow of the fungus and the rush of flowing water, they found a tall, spindly undead creature known as the Harrowed, who lunged at them from the darkness and was dispatched as quickly as the chimeras had been. As the undead monster fell, the assembled ghosts behind the group thanked them and then vanished, leaving the adventurers alone in the caverns with a new story to tell their employer. Now they have returned once more to Kalbsburg, the little town near the southern border of human territory, and its inn, where Tig awaits them with yet another trial, this one more fearsome than the first two combined. They'll have to talk to people.
Ew.
It's nearing like midsummer on the plains north of the great mountain range that splits Duran's eastern continent in two. For several of the party, this is the most comfortable time of year. The name of the place is Kalbsburg. This is Plus Ultra. It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. My name is Ellie, and I'm here with Beth, Crash, and Io. Jen is, well, I'm not sure what Jen's up to, but I'm sure they're having a good time.
One hopes.
Or recovering.
The alternatives are, yeah. It might be pollen eschaton.
Yeah.
Polygetted.
Get in the bubble, as opposed to the mech. Shinji.
I want a bubble. I want a bubble. I would stuff Io in it. Anyway, we have to talk to
everyone. I keep saying I'm going to
put me in a bubble. Yeah.
I keep saying I'm going to put them in. I'm going to get them one of those Tali masks from Mass Effect.
Oh.
Anyway.
We could use one.
You are sitting around a tavern table in Kalbsburg with Tig, your cloaked Felton friend at the other side of the table. Yes, this is a, well, he's not a stranger anymore, really, but this is a cloaked stranger in a tavern.
And they're offering us a
quest. You did a good job at Matlock Tor. The porters have already arrived, and the ward was exactly as expected, and you did a fine job of emptying the place out. Unfortunately, the labyrinth door is sealed behind you, which, you know, not particularly a problem because, well, they carry blasting equipment.
You just need to find the button and press it.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
It's not that hard.
Yeah, but they have explosives. They can make a door. It takes, what, 10 seconds? 11 tops?
That sounds incredibly
wasteful.
You blew up
carvings?
I've met some engineers like that.
Oh, the poor carvings. Ah, well.
They took impressions of the carvings.
Well, that's good.
Yes, and then the explosives left an impression.
Terribly that's sorry true. We couldn't leave the doors wedged open somehow. That might have taken a bit more.
Oh, no, not your fault at all. They've got a mechanism of some kind. The engineers are still studying it. It was built for a previous magic regime, and you know how it goes.
Badly, yes.
Anyway, I did receive the 5 crates of rubbings that you brought back, so thank you for that.
Always making sure that we are preserving knowledge.
Okay,
otherwise,
well,
we're just looters.
I mean, I thought it was a little bit overboard, but I guess if they went and blew the doors up, maybe not.
Anyway, I do have another place for you to go. This one is not quite as cut and dried as the last two. If you're interested, anyway.
Well,
It's a living.
It's a lot better money than making deliveries. Although technically I'm still making deliveries.
We're just delivering rubbings.
True.
And treasure
samples. We did bring some of those. First you deliver us to the location, then we deliver things back here.
I think our quest giver is trying to say a thing.
Yes. Apologies.
I can be patient. If you guys want to talk amongst yourselves about whether you want to pick up this job, that's fine with me.
I'm pretty sure we do.
Well, okay.
Except for the talking to people.
Well, we are going to guarantee payment for this one because we're not sure there's actually any treasure to bring back. In fact, so this is a funny one. And
is it haha funny or this cheese tastes funny?
Well, okay. There's a little town. Yeah, bigger than this one, but not by much. There's a little town off to the west, about halfway between here and the coast. It's along one of the, not the major route, but one of the mainer routes. And, we've been hearing rumors that it's not what it appears. So, I'd just like you to go and check it out and see if there's anything there to find. Sound good?
Who is we, if I might ask?
Oh, I'm part of a, we never did really settle on a name for ourselves, but I suppose we're a consortium of people gathering information about the... All right, I say consortium, it makes it sound much bigger than it is, but we're gathering information about the state of the world and about history and, adventurers like you fund our research.
I would think it would be the other way around. You're funding us.
Yes, but we're funding you through the treasure that you bring back. We point you to the treasure. You bring back the treasure. You get a cut of the treasure. And then we spend the treasure finding more treasure.
And this time we bring back information.
Save a little treasure and set up a small museum somewhere to display all the rubbings.
And then charge admission and get more treasure.
Actually, we've been talking about that, but the others can't agree on where to put it.
Well, this seems like a nice little town. Perhaps it would like a tourist attraction.
I guarantee it does not.
I know a nice little hill that now has a lot more open space now that things have been blown up.
That's true. One could set up shop at one of the locations.
They are kind of out of the way, though. Room for expansion.
I tell you what, we have plenty of locations that haven't been haunted or cursed.
But those are two of the things you can put in the advertisement that will attract people.
Usually people like us.
Come see our cursed museum. I'm not sure that's going to go over well.
Formerly cursed. Come see the haunted site.
Come see our formerly cursed, as far as we know, museum. Truth in advertising.
Pick the haunted one, then you can spin it as if you see a ghost, don't touch them. They're harmless unless you poke them.
Have you met people?
Yes, that's why I said they would show up around. If you said it was ghosts, if it was cursed.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let's go. We're just looking for something strange at this other little town.
Well, seeing if something is strange, right?
If this little town of Iversby is more than meets the eye, let us know about it so that we can probably tell you to investigate.
The whole town turns into a doom buggy and drives off.
You did say it's more than meets the eye. We poke around and discover if there's anything weird about it, and then we bring back our findings, hopefully not in the form of rubbings.
Right.
Well, it's something to do. I suppose we can claim we are tourists.
I think we kind of are.
Yes, but we're not staying in just the tourist traps. That's true. Perhaps we should make a delivery to the town if one is to be had going here and there.
I'm already making a delivery. I'm delivering 2 to 3 people.
Well, yes, but it might be a bit more plausible if we actually deliver something legitimate cargo
through
with an empty cart.
Oh no, it's not going to be empty. You put the traveling supplies for you and for you and for me and spare fodder for the ox. And that cart's going to be half full, minimum.
Let's take some, I don't know, perhaps people want to send some packages through there or something. There's got to be something that we can be plausible there with.
Okay, I'll ask around and see if anyone needs some deliveries made. I know that particular spiel. It was my previous job. But I'm not going to be held accountable if the boxes mysteriously vanish en route again.
This is why you have two associates guards to guard your boxes. Yes, guards.
Works for me. Hugh immediately walks out of the inn and goes to wherever he goes when he's in a town to find what deliveries need to be transported.
Okay, that's typically the general shop.
Okay, which means he's
no almost longer everything gets routed through there.
But also it means he's no longer a part of this conversation. So there's good and bad of it. He did want to stop spending spoons on this. Let's put it that way. That's a hint.
I think that all that's happening is we agree that we're taking the job and agree on the payment, and then Tamilin slithers off to make sure that she has enough arrows and that her bows and arrows are in good condition, and determine exactly how much paper she should take for emergency rubbings. Probably not that much.
We need to get you like an emergency rubbing artifact.
Probably.
I think it's funnier, though, that we just have three crates of scrolls and charcoal at all times in the cart. And even when told specifically not to do the thing, before we leave any location, after we've done everything else we're expected to do, we get rubbings of anything that is carved into stone to bring back.
I mean, it's
if this town is made entirely of wood, we are visiting the local cemetery. If there rubbings is not a local cemetery, there might be charcoal rubbings of various people's faces.
Sketching.
No, make sure I said what I said.
You know. Yeah.
I said what I said.
She also has a sketchbook. Anyway.
The various carved signs, like the sign outside the inn that gives it a name. You do a rubbing of that.
Well, yes. And, you know, she probably already has one. You know, keep her hand in.
That's it. Before we proceed, actually, Hugh, do you want to swap out any of your ciphers?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me. Because, dear listeners, my character, Hugh, uses wild magic, which, among other things, gives him, a few extra spaces for ciphers, but lets him swap out when he takes a 1 hour or 10 hour rest. Any ciphers he actually doesn't want anymore. He just replaces them with new ciphers.
Your ciphers mutate?
Think of it as a roller deck of spells. So these aren't going to be manifest ciphers, things that you can hold and trade with people. They're subtle ciphers. They're just things that you can do. So as he's working his way through the wild magic, there's bits that he can figure out. Like, yeah, I can do this. But if he takes that and moves it out of his brain to remember the next thing, then he can't do that other thing anymore, unless he finds it again. So, you know what? I'm going to pull a full mulligan. Let's replace all of these. I can see their uses, but at the same time, let's go for 5 new ones.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh,
hey, I may actually, depending on what we find, manage to use this one if I just remember to use it.
And Ellie rolls for 5 random ciphers because you can do that in Foundry. Thank goodness. It is a feature that I was like, this is great. I'm going to remember to hand ciphers out to people. What do I forget to do?
Hand ciphers out to people.
Mm-hmm. I have not one, but 2 nutrition and hydration ciphers.
That's concerning.
They're different levels. The user can go without food and water for a number of days equal to the cipher's level without ill effect. It's okay, guys. I'm not really hungry.
That seems like cipher said that
yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I'll be hungry tomorrow either. I also have best tool. Provides an additional asset for anyone tasked using a tool, even if that means exceeding the normal limit of two assets. I am going to use this for making charcoal rubbings. If I don't have another use for it, that is how I'm using it at the end of this arc. Rejuvenator.
I think you might have a problem.
Well, that's the first step to solving the problem, but I do not wish to do step two. Restores a number of points equal to the cipher's level to one random stat pool. Ooh, Rejuvenator Cipher is nice, and that's level 7. Yeah, I'm not swapping that one. And Strength Boost. Adds 1 to Might Edge for 1 hour, or 2 if the cipher is level 5 or higher.
Which it is.
Which it is. So,
nice.
Considering Might is my dump stat...
Not bad to have one.
If I'm not sure I will need that, but if I need it, I need it. And I'm going to do the thing where it hides the archive of ciphers I've had before, because that list is starting to get longer and will become exponentially long as this campaign goes on. I love this. Dun, dun, dun. Awesome sauce. Okay, thank you, Ellie, for reminding me that I should do that. Mm-hmm. Did that? Yes. And no. Okay. Fascinating. So I did the thing that was discovered where you go to prototype token and assign a token to it. But the changes I made by double clicking on my character on the map have not carried over to the one you open in the sidebar.
Ooh.
The ciphers are there, but their levels aren't rolled. They're not set. It's not set to hide the archive. I'm redoing that, and I suppose I should... let's re-roll these.
I mean, yeah, you rolled...
I'll just set them.
Yeah, oh, let the GM set them.
Okay. Actually, for the Rejuvenator, I think... Oh, wait, no. The Rejuvenator could have been one higher.
Yeah.
But otherwise, that one's really good. The Rejuvenate's a random stat pool, though.
Yeah.
So.
Well, rewards you for using all your stat pools.
I am going to wait until when I'm using it to find out if it's useful.
Sounds plausible.
So I'm going to put the name of the place in the chat. And there are some names later that I'm going to put in the chat as well.
Okay. Iversby.
Iversby.
Iversby. I hope I got that right.
It's a little town south of... Here is what Tig tells you. Iversby is a little town about on one of the main, but not the major roads from roughly here to the coast on the west. It is mostly south of the road. Like you approach it and then you turn left and you get into the town proper. It has about 200 people. The shopkeeper is one you want to talk to first, if you can. They're a farming village. This time of year, the fields that are fallow are going to be used for making hay, and they have some apple and cherry orchards.
Hugh makes a note to not experiment in this particular town, considering his history with apples.
Yes.
Fair.
Yeah, and that's what he gives you. It's not a whole lot to go on, but... Oh, and it's been there just about forever.
Well, that gives it a lot of time to get weird, doesn't it?
The entire town is a colony of mimics, including the buildings.
This we seems did that one. Unlikely.
And it was fun.
It still seems unlikely. After all, the GM would probably not reuse that trick again.
No, Ellie wouldn't be reusing it. Ellie hasn't done it before.
Well, there is that.
But I'm only bringing it up because...
I hear mimics are usually pretty harmless, unless you're a small lizard. That's true. They really can't grow very large. Otherwise, they start collapsing under their own undifferentiated weight. They don't do bones well.
A lizard person carrying a wicker backpack runs and hides. belly, as opposed to snakes, which are armless. Hello. What do you mean? Oh, Temelin over here has arms.
I'm not a
legs
snake.
That she doesn't have.
That's true, but I'm not a snake. I'm sorry.
You don't need to be sorry. Stop apologizing.
Oh, not sorry. Again.
This is not in character. This is not in character.
Oh, I don't know. It probably, I mean, it's taking a few days to get there. There's no telling what's going on.
Yes, but I do have characters that would enjoy this kind of ribbing. Hugh is not one of them.
Oh, poor Hugh.
Hugh would feel very socially awkward making some type of joke about someone's species.
Ah.
Speaking of making jokes about someone's species, I know it's my joke, but the name of the book, Sorry, I Don't Understand, A Guide to Serpent Person Culture, still makes me laugh.
If your own jokes can't make you laugh, then dadgummit, who's... It, yeah.
Well, there Nothing is something in the soundboard for that. If you thought I was going to click the other one, you were wrong.
I'm going to click the other one. This one's a good one.
They're all good ones.
It's the GMs.
They're good puns,
Presumably we get
Bronch.
Something. Yes.
Yes. In fact, what you get to transport to Iversby are glass jars with brass lids.
For canning?
For canning.
Hmm. Whatever do they can there? I mean, I suppose whatever they can.
Yes, I knew we were going there.
You said it.
So did you.
Apples and cherries.
That's fair.
I guess these are for the stone workers they have there?
I'm a little concerned as to how you came to that conclusion.
They're mason jars.
Yeah.
This is not an attempt at a pun. This is Hugh honestly being confused.
Yeah. Well, they're called stone workers because they work with cherries. I gotta tell you, though, that job's the pits.
Hugh nods sagely and then stares into the middle distance for a little bit.
Anyway, you have loaded your cart up with the necessary supplies. It is about a 3-day trip. And as many crates of glass jars with brass lids that
Why
Mildred
has Foundry
can,
kicked me out again?
I don't know.
I'm upset that it keeps targeting you specifically.
It's probably something to do with the computer trying to sleep itself. It's
not this time, though.
Weird. The place really likes its canning jars.
I mean, they're really reusable until you break them, but you gotta
Don't
get
try
them
to
once
change
eventually.
Their color.
Oh, no. These are someone's delivery. I'm not messing with that.
Reasonable.
Also, they're clear.
Yes.
Don't have a color. Can't change what's not there. I suppose I could add a color inside of it.
No.
But then I'd just be coloring the air. And I can do that without a jar. I mean, here. And I'm going to use hedge magic, which I can do for free at this point. To just make a ball of colored air in the palm of my hand.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could do that with cards.
Maybe, but wouldn't that be cheating?
Yes.
I'm now worried about and thinking about several card games that I lost very, very handily in. The fact
this
that Ellie is rolling dice.
Bad idea.
The fact that Ellie is rolling dice immediately after I said that fills the player with joy.
And also trepidation?
No, the trepidation would totally be Hughes.
Oh, well, yes, true. Who doesn't realize that, is there like thunder somewhere out there? Oh, I thought it was a clear day.
So remember, one of the strategies of good storytelling is you make a character that you like, and then you spend the rest of the story doing horrible things to them. Sorry for Hugh.
You like Hugh.
I like Hugh.
Hugh is going to have so many things.
And the best part about it is when I say that, it's a pun.
Yes. Yes, that, yep.
That wasn't planned. That I picked the name Hugh for other reasons, and then I realized, oh, this is going to be good.
So many puns. No, sorry for the listeners named Hugh out there. You've probably heard them all before.
If you share a name with my character, I'm sorry for Hugh. It's not going to be so many puns. This is going to be the same pun with slight variations.
Well, yeah. I'm sure we'll get to the town eventually.
Yes.
How many days travel is it?
3 days travel.
3 days travel. I am...
More or less.
Where is it? I am totally going to use the nutrition and hydration cipher that's level 4.
Okay.
You forego some rations in order to carry more glass jars?
My in-character reasoning is, well, because I've never had a cipher like that before on this character. So Hugh has figured out how to do a new thing. Like, oh, I can draw energy directly from the magic. How does that work? If I put it like, and twist a few wandering threads of magic that happen in the area and tie them into a little ball and... I'm not hungry anymore. Well, I suppose that'll wear off eventually. 4 days later.
The road to Iversby is one of the main roads. You pass through a couple other villages on the way. Where the people are friendly, and they seem... Most of the people who live here are humans. This is human territory. There are some other species, but it is not...
Bless you.
I just noticed the craft services box you drew around the non-profit.
I mean, that's where the characters are hanging out. So clearly that's craft services. Yes. I am thrilled beyond belief at your reaction to that. I wasn't expecting an audible equivalent to a spit take from you when you noticed that. But I'm glad it happened. And sorry for derailing the plot in the process.
That's fine.
I need to add the other characters, though. And I'll be here, too. And be. And why are there so many kobolds?
Let the GM get on. Let the GM get on.
Yes, I'm shutting up now.
I had to type something. I had forgotten to write something down.
Ah.
The road out to Iversby, taking into account the villages that you pass through, isn't straight, but it isn't really windy either. It's like it's one of those roads where it bends a bit and you wonder why it bends. And then a couple of miles later, you start seeing the hills that it would have gone through.
Mm.
At a couple points, the cart's wheels fall into ruts that... Well, a lot of people must have driven their carts in exactly this spot, because those ruts are almost exactly spaced right for your cart's wheels. And, you know, they keep the cart going straight for a while. Then you go back onto the non-rutted part of the road and everything is back to normal.
When we hit those, Carter, unless there are other... is there anyone else that we can see on this road, or are we pretty much the only travelers right now?
It's actually rush hour. No, you're the only travelers that you can see right now. There's, you know, the road is wide enough for you to, like, two carts could pass each other.
Okay.
But the ruts that you fall into are more or less in the middle, because you're riding more or less in the middle unless there's another cart to pass.
Well, here's what Hugh would do in that situation. Assuming he sees the ruts early enough, he's not going to go into them. But there is the very real and precedented chance that he doesn't notice them because his attention is elsewhere, in which case we do. Either way, his reaction upon discovering the ruts is to take a moment and try to fill the ruts in some way as a surface to the next traveler, which might be us going back the other way, but still.
Yeah, I'll say you can surreptitiously use head magic to try and fill the ruts in. Okay. It's not like a fantastic job. You're not out here with like a tamper and...
Oh, certainly. And
Rand looks on with
amusement from craft services. Hugh moves 3 or 4 rocks from the side of the road before he realizes that he could be using head magic. And then the rest of it is way faster. Like, oh, I could just, okay. Oh, it's not perfect, but, you know, it's good enough for now. And that's good enough for now. All right. He doesn't stop the wagon if the wagon isn't in danger of, like, getting stuck in the ruts. He just lets it keep going because he can get out, do this, and get back in the wagon before Mildred has gone too far because one ox cart speed.
Plus you have guards.
Yes. You do not get out of range for us to communicate while still using your indoor voices.
Yes. All right. After 3 days or so, you start seeing, well, let's put it a different way. You come to the edge of a field. It's not like the road runs along the field. And on the other side of the road is a river. The river is to the north. The field is to the south.
So the river doesn't
run. The river is flowing. No. The river is flowing westward, like you are. And the field looks like one of the fallow ones. That there will be someone in that field making hay.
While the sun shines, I imagine.
Yes, it is early afternoon. You haven't seen anybody for a couple hours at this point. The road is fairly sparsely traveled. But as you continue along the road, you start seeing the first signs of buildings on the horizon.
We're not trying to distract Ellie with the chat, but apparently we are managing to do it.
Sorry.
The first buildings that you see are ramshackle to the point of falling apart. One of them is a farmhouse. One of them is a farmhouse out in the field that you're next to. And you can hear, even at this distance, the sounds of someone with a scythe. Possibly more than one person, but there's someone out there cutting grass. And the other one is along the side of the road to the south and is a long, low building that, to say it had seen better days,
might be optimistic.
The building, the farmhouse, as you get closer, you realize is less falling apart and more has been scavenged. Like parts of it are just straight up missing. Other parts of it look fine. It looks like someone has been taking wood off this building and using it somewhere else.
Makes sense.
Well, I mean, that's definitely something that people do just normally, but that in combination with this place is weird makes me feel slightly like we've wandered into one of those stories that ends with, and then it turned out that there was bad gas throughout the whole cavern, and it was making people hallucinate. You think
or you know,
that's possible?
One where there's actual horrible, scary magic going on, but that happens less often.
I heard of this one town where there was a coal mine underneath it, and the coal mine caught on fire, and everyone had to leave.
And it's still burning to this day.
Oh, no, they did manage to put it out. Some people from the academy came and they sealed off everything and did some spells or whatever. Basically,
That's true.
They looked at the fire with a stern expression and said no.
Yeah, that can happen.
Academy? Huh. Maybe that's what we'll do.
Was that in character or out of character?
No, out of character.
Okay.
Oh.
Because that determines how we're reacting. And are we far enough back there isn't an academy?
Yes.
Oh, well then Hugh wouldn't have brought up an academy.
I mean, unless there
fair enough.
Are little academies.
I mean, there are schools, but the academy does not exist yet, no.
Okay. And he's telling a story that he heard someone say to somebody who then said it to somebody else who then said it to somebody else. So that's Centralia right. Only exists in this world if Ellie wants Centralia to exist in this world. I went to college near there. Not in there. That would be very different. The art would have looked different.
Among other things.
And a view on the road. And actually, from where you are, you can start to see some. There are some ruined buildings to the north across the river, and there is a bridge across the river. up ahead of you to the north that actually looks like it's in pretty good repair, but you don't see any usable buildings on the far side of the river. It's just sort of, it's one of those areas where there used to be a garden here, and then people stopped tending it, and someone planted mint, and then the whole place was mint, but then the mint ran out of nutrients and died off, and so it's just, it's that kind of environment over there.
Hmm.
It's not kudzu level, but it's...
I was trying very hard to not bring up kudzu. If we have any listeners in the South, it might actually trigger them.
As you come to the bridge, there is a sign to the south of the road and a crossroads. And the sign points to the left and says, Iversby.
And to the right says, Iversby. Well, you know, I think I do want to go to the town proper first. We do have these things to drop off. But if we don't find a lot in town, I kind of want to look in some of those buildings we passed on the way back.
I see what you mean. I agree.
Something about the GM taking time to describe them on the way.
That's never a good sign. It's true.
It's Chekhov's narration.
Possibly. We'll find out, won't we?
Or we won't.
Or we won't.
We could always make a wrong turn. Hugh makes Mildred turn towards Iversby and continues onward.
Okay.
Hoping that that is not the wrong turn.
To the west, to your right, there is another field, and this one has a house that is very obviously in good repair.
Hmm.
It is like it's got a fresh coat of paint on it from this spring. There's somebody visible in the field who is making hay. It is clearly an in-use farm. Ahead of you, the road splits. So there's sort of a three-way split. You can go straight or left or right. And there is a guard tower at the split with somebody up in it. The guard waves.
He waves back.
Sinon waves.
JR waves. From craft services.
Yes.
As you get closer, the guard comes down, drops down the stairs. There are stairs. It's not a ladder. They're civilized. And comes over to the side of the cart. Wow, hello. So, where are you from? I mean, where are you coming from? I can see you're from all different places, but where are you from?
Most recently?
I don't remember the town that our quest giver is from, but he will definitely give that as the name.
Capsburg.
Capsburg. I think it's Capsburg.
Regardless, insert name town here.
Yes, Capsburg.
Got a delivery of mason jars, looks like.
Oh, for the cannon. Yeah, well, they won't need them for a while, but it'll be good to have him. We put that order in the spring and expect it sometime, month from now.
I was told it was ready to be delivered, so here I am.
Oh, sure. Well, I suppose if you're passing this way, it wouldn't hurt you to bring him with you.
Precisely.
Well, all right. You'll want to talk to Lucia, who is not in town.
Whoop.
So you'll want to talk to Yaldbert. Yaldbert's Lucia's assistant. He's empowered to take care of things while she's gone.
At the store?
Yeah.
Ah, good.
Well, Lucia being the Fouth and all. It's midsummer. She's got to collect the taxes and take them out to the coast.
Yes. Administration never sleeps.
Neither does she, it seems like. But, well, suppose that's the life of a shopkeep. Me, I like being a guard because I got an 8-hour shift.
There is some knowing nods from the guards here. The cart guards. Yep.
Hugh is thinking about what you just stop after 8 hours? People do that? Why would they? Okay.
It's been known to happen.
Oh, he's not saying it out loud. That's what's going through his head. When someone says something that's confusing to him, he will frequently respond with a sage nod.
Fair enough. Anyway, you keep going this way you're going, and when you get into town, there'll be a big building on your forward left. There'll also be a big building on your rear left, but you don't want that one. That one's the tavern. You want the shop.
Understood.
And you're looking for Yardbert. Yaldbert.
Got it. Thanks.
And you tell him Ulrika sent you. He'll do you right.
Hugh will nod thanks at this and spur Mildred onward, which we probably will not notice much of a difference. But the whole time he's thinking, wait, if the thing we don't want is on our rear left, that would mean we've passed it. If we've passed it, then it wouldn't be on our rear left when we first see it. And
it
I'm going to ask my friends, once we're out of earshot, what he meant by that, because this has been my only career. I'm supposed to know directions, and I'm confused.
Perhaps the road will curve slightly, so we will not see it clearly until we have passed it.
I'm just going to avoid any building that looks like a tavern or an inn. Hopefully they'll have like some type of signage out front. Although it's a small town, sometimes they don't bother with signage because everyone knows which building is which.
If worst comes to worst, one of us can poke our heads in and determine from the inside if it is a store or a tavern, I suspect.
There's one town I went to once where like all the directions were based on this one like restaurant that used to be there. Like, it's not there anymore. It burned down 20 years ago. But everyone just gives directions based on where the Copper Penny used to be. It's 3 blocks south from where the Copper Penny used to be. Go to where the Copper Penny used to be, hang a left. Like, you know what it is now? It's an empty lot. There is nothing there.
That's because that's where the Copper Penny was, and no one could build on it, because then it would be that place where the Copper Penny used to be, and they'd never get their own name established.
Oh, no, there were 3 other buildings built there. They all suffered the same fate. I think the place was cursed.
Oh. Did anyone take any rubbings?
I did not ask. Fun fact, the Copper Penny was an actual place in Pennsylvania. I'm not making this up.
I believe it. I mean, hey, we've got Weeks Crossing that used to be Weeks Traffic Circle because Weeksies was in the middle of it.
It is not my plan to turn this world that Ellie has made into Pennsylvania. It might feel that way for this specific episode because I've done it twice today.
Obviously, it's where Hugh comes from.
It's 5 episodes from now. It's just going to be an Old Gods of Appalachia game.
Yeah. As you get into the center of town, and there is a proper center of town, the roads actually divides again to the right and then again to the left, and those divisions don't happen at the same time, but you keep going straight and there are buildings. There's a forest also to your well, not really a forest, it's if a forest were kind of balding.
So the trees have been topped.
Yes.
Frequently done to encourage them to grow more branches.
Are they apple trees?
No, actually, the ones out there are just, you know, there's oaks and maples.
Huh.
I know this is not what Ellie meant, but my brain is half taking this description as, okay, well, going down this road, we've got building at like 101 Main Street, 102 Main Street is another building, 103 Main Street is the topped forest, 104 Main Street is the bank. I'm pretty sure I just made Ellie laugh.
I thought I heard a snicker too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, take a luck point.
Yay!
I haven't been giving those out where I should.
Alas.
Alas.
One of my greatest rewards in these games is when I make Ellie laugh.
Revenge.
Oh, I'm in the right
spot. Not even that. I just like when I get to amuse Ellie.
Well, that too.
Here is my rough, terrible map of the town. Just so you know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Oh, it looks like there was actual some planning put into it. It's not just, well, I guess this is an empty spot for me to put my building.
Yeah.
Neat.
So you get to the center of town, and I still got the share window open, so I can't see the map anymore. You feel do indeed see two buildings to your right, one of them, both of them quite large. In front of you is, it's a well. It looks like it used to be a fountain, but someone has demolished most of the outer wall of the fountain, and it's like there's ceramic tiles peeking out through the dirt around the well, and someone has constructed an actual well mechanism.
Is there a hole in the bucket?
No.
You all suffer one earworm damage.
Dear lies, dear lies.
That's
Tamilan looks over and goes, I hope they took some rubbings before they broke that up.
I like this character trait that Tamilan's developed.
Yes, yes.
What do you mean just Tamilan?
I feel like you learned one thing about what you're supposed to do in ruins, and now everything looks like a nail.
No, it looks like a carving. I wouldn't take a rubbing of a nail unless it was terribly interesting.
Are we supposed to take rubbings of nails?
No.
Oh,
generally
we need
not.
To go
no,
back. We no, missed no. so many spots.
No.
No.
No. No. No.
I don't.
You
think...
stand at the well while Hugh determines whether or not there's a hole in the bucket. To your right, behind you, there is a tavern. It has a freshly painted sign hanging out front that has a picture of a cylindrical cap with a shallow brim, all in black with a sort of diamond symbol on the front, and the words "The Ducky" underneath. To your right, in front of you, is someone swinging on a creaky swing, and what's obviously a general store. It's not marked that way, but from the, like, you know, there's barrels of what are probably pickles or fish out front, and one of those angled display shelves with, like, the rows of stuff you can buy on them, and the door is wide open.
Okay. Well, Hugh will stop the cart, grab, how many boxes of mason jars is it?
It is enough that it occupies all the room in the cart that you didn't occupy with goods and yourselves.
Okay. Hugh is going to take one of the ones that he's confident he can lift, which might not be all of them, but wants to take one of the boxes in as evidence of, hey, I have your delivery. I've got a bunch more of these, with the hope that maybe someone's going to come out and help.
Okay.
So goes into the general store.
You go in, and there are a couple of people in there, and one of them is wearing an apron and is very obviously, like, he's the guy you talk to.
Like someone wearing a red shirt or anything. Walking into Target.
Right.
Never do that.
yeah, don't.
I'm not doing that again. All right. Oh, are they currently helping somebody?
Yes.
Then Hugh will wait patiently while holding the heavy box.
They are helping, in fact, a groove woman who needs a hand getting something down from an upper shelf. The fellow with the apron manages it with ease, hands it to the groove woman, who happily carries it over to the counter. And he notices you as he's going back to the counter and says, oh, hello, I'll be there in a minute.
Hugh nods at this and continues to stand there holding the heavy box.
Okay. He's assuming that if you're holding a heavy box, you can hold a heavy box. So he will...
assuming that he can hold a heavy box for a minute. We may or may not find out if he can.
Oh, no. Worst comes to worst, you can set it down.
Hugh doesn't want to set it down somewhere. It might be inconvenient. Also, there was at least one occasion in his past where they set the box down, and then the person they were making delivery for insisted that box had always been there. Where was their delivery?
Ooh.
Not saying that this shopkeep is going to do that, but that's left a mark on Hugh.
Yeah, that would.
The groove woman pays in coin. The shopkeep gives her change. She walks out happily with her purchase. It's a bag of something indeterminate. It's not obvious from the outside what's in the bag, but she's very happy with it. And then the young man behind the counter comes over and takes the box from Hugh and does so without effort. Takes it over.
That was a large mite pool.
Sets it on the counter, and no, I'm not going to give you a GM intrusion for this.
I wanted to open the door and not put it into the recording. Like, hey, would you like to give me a GM intrusion? But I just letting you know, after the point where I think that you would have done it has passed, yeah. I was providing the opportunity. Okay, so I have insert number here. Number of those out in the cart still that you ordered. So, yeah.
Oh, these are... What are these? I don't think we're expecting a shipment.
I was told that you had one on file, and it was ready for delivery, although it was early. But they had it ready.
Early? What are they?
They're mason jars.
He hasn't opened the box yet.
Oh.
Hugh will help him open the box.
You're not supposed to be here for another month.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get those off your cart. And let's get them off your cart and bring them inside. I don't know if I had anywhere to put them. Usually we clear space, but I guess they're sending them early this year.
Well,
all right. I'll figure it out.
Me to have room to make a delivery, but I had room to make a delivery. So
that's fair. If they've got them done early, they might want their space back. All right. Well, let's carry him in.
Okay.
And he will go out and take two or three crates at a time and carry them into the shop.
To Hugh's one, I imagine he also moves at a brisker pace than Hugh, who is not just moving slower because they're heavy, and might is Hugh's dump stat, but because they're glass, and Hugh would not like to break the things that belong to somebody else who is going to pay Hugh for the services.
Fair enough. Tamilin, while this is going on, what are you doing?
Tamilin is figuring that she would probably just get in the way and people would trip over her tail. So unless they want her to help carry things, she's going to stay out and make sure that no one harasses the ox or anything and slither around a little bit, probably look at the... look at whatever's nearby. Is the well nearby? Is that?
Yes.
She will probably go to the well and the whatnot, the shattered bits of it. See if there's anything to make a rubbing of.
All right. and after we take a short break, I will describe what you find.
Okay.
All right. No, I am fairly certain you don't need to take a rubbing of the mason jars.
Oh, I did that along the way. It had a little maker's mark on the bottom, so I kept in practice.
The people who make paper are making so much money off of us. Okay.
It's a very small maker's mark. I made a very small rubbing, just to keep in practice.
Well, that's the last of them.
Meanwhile,
we now have room to stretch out in the cart, unless we're getting a room in the inn. Are we getting room in the inn?
Dynan did help unload the mason jars, by the way.
Yeah. Tamilin, what remained it? They have tried to keep some kind of symmetry in what remains of the outer wall of the fountain dish.
Uh-huh.
And they haven't succeeded, but it's pretty obvious they were looking more for utility than aesthetics.
Fair.
And a moment's thought, like, you can see why they would have, if they needed to put the well in that spot, they wouldn't want to have had to step over the lip of the fountain every time they wanted to get water.
That's very fair.
So what's left is decorated in, well, the tile is, some of the tile is missing. What remains seems to be, it looks like it shows bulls running along a river.
Interesting choice. She will, in fact, sketch this if it's not rubbing. Probably not. It's tiles.
Yeah. They're not big tiles. They're pretty much a mosaic, but a rubbing of them, even a rubbing of mosaic is just going to show, like, tiles.
Congratulations, yeah. You have made graph paper. But it's inverted graph paper. It's a collection of black squares with little white spots in between them.
That's going to be heck on the printer ink. And no, she will not do rubbings of things that you can't do rubbings of. She would like to make a little sketch of it because that's certainly something potentially unusual and or historical. Might qualify.
Oh, I should specify, by the way, the groove woman who was asking for help getting something down from the high shelf was an Elfjallinger, not a half-thinker like Steinen is.
Ah.
They're the ones with the red-toned skin and the very dark hair.
Mm, the full version. Or the land version?
In common parlance, they're the volcano dwarves.
That's fair.
Wait. I'm one of those.
Oh, I got it back. It's the blue glow that throws me off.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm the volcano kind of an Eldgrover.
Then she is an Eldfjallinger, like Steinen is.
That's not the same word that I have written down. I'm confused. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. You have Eldgrover. In my full notes, they're Eldfjallinger.
Okay. Sorry.
No problem.
I just copy pasted what was in the document.
No problem. I'm going to paste these into the channel.
Yay.
I am saying this because I'm impressed, but I feel like when we publish these episodes, I need to include a link to a world Bible.
Is it common to see other Eldfjallinger in this area? Did I say that word right? I think I didn't.
You did, more or less. There you go. Yeah. Eldfjallinger is your people's name for your people. Eldgrover is the common name. You're not surprised to see one. It maybe has been a while since you've seen one. Okay. But you're not surprised to see one.
It's more of an oh hey and not an oh my god.
Yeah.
But it's not so incredibly common that it might be too odd to strike up a conversation with her. Because, you know, it has been a little while.
Yeah, no, it would not be, she would not consider it out of the ordinary.
Okay. Steinen will ask what brings her here. Crash!
What?
Oh.
It's been a hot minute since we saw another volcano dwarf. I put it in the chat so I wouldn't derail the conversation. Lo and behold,
that always works.
We're all compulsive readers, Crash. You know this.
Except when I hyperfocus on a different window and I miss like 5 minutes, well, 50 minutes, let's be honest here, worth of chat conversation.
Well, yeah, there is that. Been there, done that.
She introduces herself as Ingvildr and says that she is heading south toward the mountains. She's just passing through. She's coming in from the west, actually from the coast. And she intends to head south toward the mountains, and she's taking the road down south through town.
Makes sense. We're delivering mason jars, as you can see.
It's good work, if you can find it.
It is. At least, better work than some.
I'm assuming, is this conversation happening while we're delivering the mason jars, or is this afterwards?
Yeah, that's why you're delivering the mason jars.
Okay, so at some point, Hugh is either being passed or passing this conversation. Likely the former, based on everything that's been revealed so far. But you will interject, mostly Steinen makes sure that we don't get hit.
Yep, that's about right.
And
things have been quiet around here. If you've been traveling through.
Pretty quiet. I mean, I've only been here for a day or two and don't expect to stay too much longer. I've got the room for one more night. But, well, I haven't run into too much trouble. And, I confess a big reason that I'm staying is because the baker makes a kind of pretzel I like. And she hoists the bag a little bit.
We'll have to try it. Usually we'd like to pick up another delivery at where we're headed, so before we move on, it's always good to know how the road is, if there are bandits lurking around, or weird stuff happening, or some
haunted castles
major alike. Others done something that makes the rocks or the plants get up and mess around with. Never mind.
Oh, yeah, you. Since the dragons changed over, you never know what to expect.
Yeah.
Well, Can't say as I noticed anything coming from the west, although, well, there were these fellas around a bridge complaining that someone had robbed them. But, well, I didn't see nothing, so I kept going on my way.
Have to keep an eye out for bandits, I guess, but you always have to keep an eye out for bandits.
Yeah, it's easier up here on the tundra. Hard for him to hide.
Yeah.
Sadly, Tamilin is not part of this because she would make some happy smiles and wave her bow around. It's hard for them to hide.
I'll head back over to the tavern, but if you'd like to talk later, you know where to find me.
Good to meet you.
Oh, and you. Always a pleasure to see another elder out here. Oh, you know, there are a couple more of us in town.
Oh.
Yeah, you should head over to Thorin's. She's got a good head on her shoulders. She's the woodwright. Next ring out, and on the west side.
Right. Thank you.
Anyway, be seeing you.
Nice to talk to people who
understand.
Are normal about this blasted cold. You said it's the tundra, so I assume it's a bit cold for us. Yeah.
Yes. This is the time of year when you are the most comfortable. Because it gets as high as the equivalent of 70 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Blasted cold.
And all you need is a light jacket.
I will point to the giant scarf on Steinan's token.
Meanwhile, Hugh is in shirt sleeves going, oh, I can't stand this heat. Can't wait for fall.
But then there Steinem are no freezing good to death. Basking rocks.
Tamilin is going into torpor.
Yeah.
I was going to say, this is Hugh the human, Steinem the volcano person, Tamilin the jungle person, and Delka the desert person.
Two of us are having a grand old time.
You into the ox?
Yes. What? Mabel is definitely a part of the party.
Well,
she likes to feel included.
Of course. Always include your ox.
Well, within reason. I'm not getting a room for Mabel on the second floor. Again.
I mean, again. I'm worried about that again.
It didn't happen a first time, but it might have been joked about a first time.
That's fair. Very fair.
As you finish loading the mason jars into the shop, and they are sort of stacked haphazardly wherever, because
no room for it.
As Yalbert said, they haven't cleared the room for them yet. An older kid, maybe 14 or 15, comes running in and is breathless and says, Lucia, Lucia, Lucia. Yalbert looks over and says, you know she's out of town. What's going on? Oh. Yaldi, a rock fell on Rika. We need your help. And
I'll tag along if you don't mind. Might be better to have some more arms.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Henrik, you go get Ayla and Victoria. No, get Dagny. Ayla and Dagny, and meet us back up there. All right.
Where is this?
You with the skin. They're up north of the river, and I've just realized I made an error. Gave the wrong name.
I'm a little concerned that you said you with the skin, as if that narrows down who we're talking about.
he's pointing at Steinon.
Okay, so so I don't need to update Hugh's character art. Okay.
No.
You do, in fact, have skin.
You have skin. Steinon has unusually colored skin.
To a human.
This is to a human, yes. This is not an especially tactful thing for him to say, but
well, kids.
He is stressed because, well, someone's gotten hurt and he has just been distracted from the task he was doing. And normally Lucia would handle this, but she's out of town.
Well, Steinon is happy to assist in whatever way she can. Which probably will involve lifting things off of people.
Yeah. So he takes off running. The kid takes off running.
Dinan also takes off running.
Hugh will also take off running. Hugh will tell Mildred to follow and catch up. I am not expecting Mildred to do anything other than continue to stand there and possibly choose some cut.
Yeah. Does Tamilin take off slithering?
Tamilin makes sure that Mildred is theoretically tied to a hitching post.
There's a post outside the tavern that you can hitch her to.
Yeah.
In my head canon. Which I presume. In my head canon, and the GM can change this when most inconvenient, Mildred is that kind of ox that if she knows you, you can direct her to go somewhere. If she doesn't know you, hitched or unhitched does not matter.
Yeah, that's, well, okay.
Jamilin will make sure that she is nominally hitched, just yes. So that people know that this ox is not loose.
The hitch is a dollar store padlock.
Tamilin will take a quick glance at all of their stuff in the hopes that if anyone goes rummaging through it, she will be able to notice and complain just by looking when she gets back. And then, yes, she will take off slithering after with a sort of bemused, now what, kind of expression.
Okay. Yelbert is leading Steinen and Hugh across the bridge toward the ruins north of the river. But I'm going to take Tamilin first.
Okay.
Because Tamilin hears something rather startling coming from behind her. It sounds like there's going to be an earthquake.
Tamilin whips around and looks concerned at everything behind.
Behind you, at relatively high speed, which, let's face it, means 15 or 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Comes a machine with, all right, I'm going to describe it the way, I'm going to describe it so that you'll understand it.
Mm-mm.
Not
the way that our characters would perceive it.
Yes.
So long as it's not a clockwork boy.
No.
Don't want them.
You see a Giona with goggles over their eyes and a huge grin on their face, driving basically a bulldozer.
Headed towards... Oh, no.
Headed towards the bridge.
Oh, no. Does it...
There...
Sorry. You go.
There is a Tuwadi woman hanging off the side. And as it passes, she reaches down and grabs the back of your shirt and lifts you onto the machine.
I am going to basically use my... constriction climbing abilities to assist this and find a good spot of the machine that will not get my tail pitched in anything to also cling. Will the bridge hold this?
Well, it did in testing.
Oh, fun. Cling.
Steinen and Hugh, you hear an earthquake coming up behind you.
I run faster.
That's not usually how earthquakes work. I'm going to scramble out of the way and look back at what is making the world shake.
Behind you, there is a bulldozer on treads with Giona in goggles at the pilot seat, Tuwadi woman hanging off the side, and Tamilin sitting on the roof, clinging for dear life.
Yeah, basically.
Does the bridge look like it can handle that?
I love how this is our first thought, both of us.
As I mentioned, the bridge has been relatively well kept.
Okay.
And has been recently reinforced.
Okay.
I wonder why.
We know what.
Steinen will sort of wave in a flagging down, can I maybe climb up that way, because if we are all arriving on this giant machine, let's not be in front of it.
The Tuwadi woman grabs the back of your shirt and hoists you up next to Tamilin.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
This is moving way faster than an ox cart.
Yeah.
Hugh, as I said, sees this and decides, to run faster. Hugh does not want to ride the big thing. The big thing is scary.
Hugh, maybe get out of the way of the...
Hugh has far step, which allows him to move, according to this, with somewhere within long range with a single action. long distance by being up to 100 feet, according to the cheat sheet, although the GM can vary that as required. And I can do it for free because I've got an intellect edge of 2. Hugh runs faster. Magically aided.
You see Hugh take a flying leap and land across the river.
There may or may not be a cloud of dust. And then Hugh moving with just like a spinning blur line oval where his legs are supposed to be. I'm not saying this is canon, but it's funny to me.
While he was in midair, you hear the faintest meep meep.
Look, this bulldozer might have Acme written somewhere on the side. I'm not getting near that.
It's not being driven by a coyote person.
No, the bulldozer does go over the bridge, and the bridge apparently has no problem holding it up, although there is some dust settling as the bulldozer goes over.
Oh, good.
Yelbert is up by one of the buildings on the far side of the river, the ruined buildings. And there is a kid who apparently, I gave you the wrong name earlier, is Imka. There is a kid squirming underneath a large rock that has fallen off of one of the buildings. And Yelbert is gesturing to the driver of the bulldozer to bring it over.
How big is this rock?
The three of you together would have had trouble lifting it.
Well, yes, if we use our muscles. I am not going to use strength boost because that just lets me spend more points.
Yeah.
More points you don't have anyway?
Well, I would be able to spend, it gives me 2 edge, but effort costs 3 and I only have 1 effort. So I'd be able to try just a little bit harder, but it wouldn't be too successful. I'm not skilled in anything like that. But I can do 4 points of physical damage to something with Onslaught. However,
that's true.
If I do that poorly, then what I've done is apply shrapnel directly to the wound.
Maybe don't. Yeah.
These are the thoughts that are going through Hugh's head. So instead, and I forget exactly how long an action is in Cypher system. Part of me says like 2 seconds, but I might be thinking more along GURPS for that. It's shorter than what's allowed in Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons is 6 seconds, I think. But if we assume an action is like 2 seconds, then I was moving at 34 miles per hour because I didn't want to get on the thing that was going too fast.
Well, it wasn't under your own power, so you
Hugh
know,
is not letting this sink scarier. In. Hugh is not thinking about that part. Hugh does not want to think about that part. But I say this because this means that Hugh probably got to where the rock is before everyone else if they were going at a mere 15 to 20 miles per hour.
Yes.
It's like, I'm here. I have no idea how to help, but I'm here. I'm going to scan the rock.
Okay.
The player assumes we're going to find out it's a rock. Hugh doesn't know that.
I mean, you might find that there's some part of it that you could shove off it that would make it lighter and easier to move by the machine.
I mean, yes, if the GM is going to be incredibly kind. As written, scan could literally just tell me it's a rock.
Okay. You scan the rock. You get a 10-foot cube. You get, in this snapshot of an instant, rock, first of all. It's kind of unfair to call it a rock. It is a structural rock. It has been carved into shape. It had been part of the building's wall. You get Kid, who you're not sure you've seen legs broken in that many places before.
Ooh. Oh, no.
You get additional rock. There's still some wall behind the original rock. Let's call it Rock A. Mm-hmm. You get wood, surprisingly. That doesn't seem to be a whole lot of wood. You get metal, surprisingly. There's almost no metal in these ruins that you can tell. And that's the edge of the 10-foot cube.
Well, I successfully determined that Hugh running over here very, very fast did not, in fact, help very much.
Provided some interesting information.
The bulldozer arrives. Yelbert says, all right, let's lift it off her.
Dinan hops off so that basically she can get in position to help with the person underneath without, you know, getting in the way of the bulldozer as it lifts.
You get beside Yelbert and start waiting to be able to pull Imka out. Hugh's
going to get in position not to help lift the rock. Hugh doesn't think he can help much with that. But Hugh's fairly certain that he can pull a kid out from under a rock that's been lifted a little bit.
Okay, so Hugh gets in position beside Steinman and Yelbert.
Demelin is going to slither off and probably be looking for other rocks that are going to be falling down when we dislodge everything, no doubt. And since everyone else has the pulling kit out under control.
I have a question for the GM. Mm-hmm. Rejuvenator, must I use it on me?
That's a good question, and we will find that out later.
Okay, because if you can use it on this person, as soon as the rock is up enough that the kid can be pulled out, Hugh's going to try using it on the kid. And as NPCs, they don't have separate pools, so it doesn't matter if it's might, speed, or intellect. Mechanically, it's just points, but that's a GM thing to decide. And I'm okay with whatever ruling. Before pulling them out, because pulling them out is going to take whatever wound is there and make it feel, oh, so much more.
Yes.
And if we pull them out and it's like, oh, you were so lucky this is not injured. Well, that's one thing. If we pull them out and, hey, look, I magically put you back together. That's a conversation that Hugh might not want to have after jumping 100 feet.
Uh-huh.
We'll ignore that part. You're looking to forward to finding out if this works.
Okay, so help me establish a timeline here.
Okay.
You want to attempt to use the rejuvenation card cipher on Imka.
Yes. Not right.
You
want to
do this before? No, please continue. You were answering the question that I was asking.
Oh, wonderful. So as if I use it right now, rock still breaking leg, it would just be healed in the broken position or just break again. Either way is not good. So as the rock is lifted up high enough for the leg to be healed, that is when Hugh is going to use the cipher to see if it works. And whether or not it works, Hugh's pulling the kid out.
Okay.
So you're helping to do that.
All right. So you, Yaldbert's at her head. We've got Steinan at one shoulder, Hugh at the other shoulder. My assumption is like Yaldbert's grabbing the shoulders of her shirt. Each of you is grabbing a hand. The Tuwadi woman is going to come around between the girl and the wall and wait for the bulldozer. So here's the sequence of events. The Giona gingerly pulls the bulldozer forward and starts lifting the, like, it's not a forklift. So it starts lifting the boulder at an angle. Uh-huh. Like it's tipping it on one of its corners.
Oh, this could be good.
When it gets tipped enough that it's off the girl's legs, the Tuwadi woman leans her shoulder against to get and shoves to rotate it off its side. Like it's at this point, it's got minimal contact with the ground, and she's rotating it up over that far point.
It's pivoting.
Right. So that it falls away from the girl it crushed. As she's doing this, Steinan and Yelbert and Hugh pull the girl out of the impact site. And Hugh slaps this rejuvenator. Actually, it's not a manifest token. uses the rejuvenator cipher to restore some health to the girl. She is, as you do this, because you're doing this while you're pulling her, I mean, her legs are broken, and you're pulling her across the ground. She shrieks and passes out.
Understandably.
But she is out of danger. The rock falls to the ground on the far side of the bulldozer's blade, and everybody breathes a sigh of relief. Yalbert looks like he is going to give the unconscious girl a lecture about, this is why you don't play in the ruins. And the Tawadi woman claps him on the shoulder. The Tawadi woman claps him on the shoulder and says, maybe we better let Quint take a look at him, don't you think? Oh, yeah. Take a look at her. Yeah, all right, okay, yeah. Must have been soft ground. Those legs don't look nearly as bad as I thought they were going to. All right, the fellow, I don't even know your name. The fellow with the mason jars.
Hugh, yes, you were right.
If you run down this road, past the main road, past your first left to your second left, and run into the graveyard, there's a house there. In that house is a man called Quintilianus. Go fetch him and bring him here.
All right. The player's not good at directions, but Hugh's a delivery man, so probably is better than me. Imagine, if you will, there are appearances of Hugh briefly every 100 meters for a few seconds. Because he was trying to be stealthy about using that cipher, but has totally forgotten that maybe people don't run at 32 miles per hour.
Well, magic. You never know what's going to show up.
Yeah.
We live in strange times. All right. What happened to Henrik? Oh, he didn't want to get on the... Anyway, we left him behind. He's back at the Woodwrights.
It was certainly a contraption.
Aren't you the Woodwright? That's my day job. Well, I suppose this good-for-nothing machine you've been building is good for something. I told you. Maybe we can finally take these down one of these days. Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Why are they... Are they not repairable?
They've been here longer than any of us can remember. Before our parents were born. And they've always been like this. Kids come out here, drink Applejack they've stolen from the festival or whatever they can get their hands on, and play in the ruins, and rocks fall on them, and then we have to come out, and it's always a to-do. But,
And no one's tried to repair them? Instead? Shore these up buildings? Walls?
He looks at the Tawadi woman, who looks at him, and they both look at you. These are ruins in the way, like...
They're very ruined ruins.
Yeah, these are archaeology ruins, not, just needs a new coat of paint ruins.
Might make more sense to take them down at this point, but of course, that's a bunch of work.
Well, that's what the machine's for, if they'll let me do it.
I can see
how... Use the character of the town, they say.
What, are these ruins bringing in tourists?
No, but a lot of people think it'd be weird to be able to see the tundra on the other side.
You could put up new ones. Or you could use the... Well, yes. Or you could use that thing to shove other rocks and dirt up to turn them into mounds so that at least the rocks couldn't fall on people.
Well, if I ever work out to get a permit, I'll know who to call to plan it. The Giona turns the bulldozer around and starts driving back to town somewhat more slowly. This is not electric powered or gas powered, by the way. You can see the steam engine on the back. For Steinen and Tamilin, it was pleasantly warm riding on the...
It was.
You extend one hand. No, come back.
And there goes the warm.
For the record, I need to offer a retraction. Looking it up in Cypher System, rounds are 5 to 10 seconds long, depending on the situation and GM rulings. We're given flexibility. But because of that, the fastest you can go, if we assume a 5-second round, is... it's a mere 13.6 miles per hour.
A mere. Alas.
I should note that this is the first time that any of you have seen a machine like this. You have seen... Like, you've seen stationary steam engines, but they're huge. like in order to do mm-hmm. any sort of thing. Like they're attached to mills.
Damielin is pretending that she sees this sort of thing every day because she doesn't want to be twittering about it.
Fascinating thing.
Dynan, you have seen, like, you have a fair understanding of how some of it works, just because the Groover have forge equipment that works something like this. But that again, it's not mobile.
Yeah.
So, have you seen something like that before? Because I haven't seen something like that before.
First time for everything.
Okay.
And then he takes off toward the graveyard.
Oh, that's right. I'm not there.
Right.
Because I took off as soon as I was told to take off.
Boosh.
Hugh, you get to the graveyard, which is, it's not anything even as tidy as a cemetery. It is basically, there's a forest and you can see some headstones scattered around. And there is a little house that looks like it might have once been a place of worship, but now there's just a chimney and smoke rising from it.
Knock, knock.
After a moment, a fairly tall sky man opens the door. Oh, what can I do for you?
Oh, yeah. So, now, the player is bad at names, so, but Hugh heard the name. So Hugh says the kid's name. I was told
Imka.
That, yeah, I was told that I should tell you that Imka was playing in the ruins and a rock fell on their leg. All right. And maybe you should take a look at it because rock, leg, not good.
I'll get my equipment. Just a moment. And he goes, he's being very, what's the word I'm looking for? He moves with a slowly but intently.
Making sure one does not deliberation. Make a mistake.
Yes.
Yeah.
He moves with deliberation.
Like an ox.
And he gathers a few things into a bag and then comes back out and closes the door. All right. Lead the way.
And Hugh will lead the way at a much more normal pace.
Okay.
The whole time thinking about adrenaline and how he's not out of breath.
I haven't seen you before in town. What brings you here?
Oh, I'm a delivery driver. Ox. I brought a bunch of mason jars that apparently they were ready to ship early, as everyone has told me.
Ah, yes. Canning season won't be enough for another month or two.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly what everyone has said. There wasn't even any room in the shop.
Well, I'm glad that they at least came this year.
Oh.
I mean, they usually come, but sometimes there's an incident. Sometimes they can't get the brass. Sometimes the glasses break on the way. It sounds like you did a good job of delivering them.
Well, Mildred keeps a steady pace, but it's not a fast one, so breakages don't normally happen.
Oh, that reminds me of luck point for Tamilin.
Okay.
For the ox joke.
Oh. Okay. What brings you here? An ox. Done.
If Hugh hadn't been somewhat unnerved by all of the events and things that he was technically not done before ever, it is quite possible that he would have said the same line. And if it occurs to him that he could have said that, actually the player might kick himself, but Hugh will not.
Well, if you have opportunity to come back in the fall, I think you should. It gets quite lively around apple and cherry season.
Oh, neat. This, isn't usually my normal route, but it's nice here. Except for the whole rocks falling on kids thing.
I think so. Yes. That happens more often than it should. Not wise to play among the ruins, but what do I know?
Yeah, you're just a grown-up. What do you know? Yeah.
You have reached the bridge, and he puts on a pair of glass spectacles and peers over at the group that's huddled around Imka and says, oh my. Both her legs, I see. Well, we'll have to do something about that. Poor Imka. She was looking to be one of the best of the next generation of farmers.
Still
will be once I'm done with her. Now, and he So he's been carrying a canvas bag with him, and he undoes a toggle at the top.
He's an old-timey doctor.
And folds it out, and then takes one of the handles and keeps pulling, and the canvas bag expands lengthwise. It turns out what the canvas bag had in it was more canvas bag.
He's an old-timey Mary Poppins.
And it expands into a stretcher. It expands into a stretcher with handles at each end.
Oh, cool.
It's like a hammock-style stretcher instead of the lengthwise handles. All right. I hesitate to lift her legs up, but we're going to have to.
Let me know if you need anything from us.
Actually, you could help by lifting her shoulders up.
All right.
Ayla, if you would be so kind as to lift her legs. Lift from the thighs, please. And one, two, three.
Lift.
And you and Ayla lift lift Imka up and set her down on the stretcher. All right. And then if you would be so kind as to take her back to the house, I can tend to her.
Of course.
You got it. All right.
I'm not too woeful on the mind. I can help if need be. Tamilin will offer to help.
We really just need one person at each end. But
not.
If anyone tires, I can certainly take a hand on it.
I'm sure it's appreciated. So, what brings you to the city?
An ox.
I suppose that's probably true.
We are traveling with you.
Ah, you are his companion. I wondered if you had arrived together, or if you had merely arrived together.
We are companions.
I see. Well, I am Quintilianus, and I am sort of a scholar in residence.
Ah, tell me, what do you scholar?
Oh, many things. I like studying the people who come through the town. But there is a history of the town as well that I have had trouble putting together.
Oh?
Well, nobody seems to know much about it. For instance, why the tavern is called the Ducky. Or,
well, it's in a row.
That building out by the main road next to the sign. The long, low one that seems to have had a porch across its entire length. People call it the Riv, but I can't figure out why.
I suppose you'd have to figure out what a Riv was.
Someone who, sheriffs, isn't it?
I believe that's a Reeve. We do have one of those.
If it's a house, I mean, I suppose it might have been a sheriff's house once.
That's exactly.
Or a river house.
Or a river house. But it is odd that nobody knows.
I, for one, have found nothing called a Riv in my studies, but as you say, I can find things close to it. But
it's more useful to figure out what it really was if you could find anything, rather than just speculate.
Exactly. So guesswork does few people any good, except as a starting point.
So do you go exploring the old ruins?
Oh, no. No, I wish I had the temperament and constitution to do so, but I'm afraid the mere possibility... Well, you see, I don't mind being alone. I don't mind people, but I don't mind being alone, and so I fear that if I were to go up to the ruins, it would be by myself, and if a rock fell on me, why, nobody might notice for a week, except to wonder why I was spending so much time in the house, not coming out to get food.
Wouldn't people come and knock?
Perhaps, but sometimes I don't like to be disturbed.
Ah.
So you see, and I don't... If I allow myself to go up there with other people, then I might convince myself that it would be okay for me to go up there on my own, and then I might die. And I don't much like the thought of that. So, instead, I give myself a blanket forbiddance from going up there. Easier that way. If I never allow myself to go up, then I never have to worry about what would happen if I did.
I suppose that does make sense.
I foresee that we are going to poke our nose into somebody's trouble again.
You have such a magical precognition, don't you, Steinen?
Well, as long as you enjoy it and are safe about it, Anyway, if you bring her inside here and lay her on the bed, I will make sure that she is tended to. And hopefully by the morning, she'll be well enough at least to walk home.
That'll be good.
You are a very good healer then.
I have my ways. But, well, I think the townsfolk trust me by now. But Ayla, you may stay if you like, just to watch over us. I assume Kadgukan can watch over the tannery while you're staying here. Oh, yes, he's got the way of the place by now. But I shouldn't be away for much more than a day. Well, I tell you what, strangers, would one of you be so kind as to go to the Ducky and get us some meals for the next, let's say dinner and breakfast. And by then, we should be finished.
I can do that, yes.
All right.
I have not been terribly useful for anything. Of course. I've not been terribly useful otherwise.
May I stay and help?
We all find our uses. If you like, young man, but I do think I have this under control.
It's a selfish reason. On our trips, sometimes one of us gets hurt, and I'm trying to learn how to be better at tending to wounds.
I see. Well, then I shall do what I can to elucidate my process.
I understood some of those words.
He means he'll do his best to explain how it works.
Oh, that's way better than I thought would happen. Wonderful. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Tamilin, you go see Pega at the inn. Ms. Steinman, I suppose you may go with her?
I should go check on Meldred.
Ah, yes.
It would be very embarrassing if the ox wandered off and got lost.
Oh, she'd only wander off if she was hungry, but she comes back.
I imagine Yelbert will be keeping an eye on her regardless. Well.
Still, if we're going to be here much longer, we should go and make sure she's properly put up.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, why don't you do that? And then you can come back and rejoin us, if you like.
Tamilin will sketch a little bow and start slithering off to go get the meals. After all, it's the most useful
to go off to attempt to deal with the ox. Does she know exactly how to deal with an ox? No, but...
You've seen Hugh dealing with Mildred for many days now.
Exactly.
Not just this trip. The question... Yeah. Therefore, the question is whether or not Mildred listens to you, which I'm not making that call.
Yeah, that is a good question.
The question we'll answer next time on Plus Ultra.
Thank
you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Tonight I've been joined by my lovely players, Beth, Crash, and Io. And I hear that Io's mom writes books.
And you can find the ones that are finished and therefore... will not be an unhappy cliffhanger at elizabethmccoy.com. I will warn that the duology has been said by many to be a cliffhanger on the second book, on the first book, rather. The second book does resolve it because it's a duology. There's two of them. The story, it does that. So, elizabethmccoy.com. And speaking of things that are just full of cliffhangers until you listen to the next one,
well, I put all the recordings that we do up on aaronbsmith.com. Each campaign has its own RSS feed, or you can subscribe to the Firehose if you wish. There's also a few other things that we make on there as well. So aaronbsmith.com for that. And we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming. You can help us keep the metaphorical lights on, along with our other illustrious patrons, including Ellie, Shanshan, Walter, Liv Droman, and Patron Emeritus Cindy.
And until next time, this is Ellie saying, can't believe they won't let me tear down those ruins. Good night, everybody.
Night. Good night.
And now you all have an asset on falling rocks. This time, maybe we won't have everyone die.
I would like to point out that when I make rocks fall, everyone does not die.
Oh, I'm not saying that we have an instance where rocks fell and everyone died. I'm saying I want to keep that up.
Yes, well, that's fair. That is fair. That is very fair.
After
frankly,
all,
I better have an asset and... on... Yeah, well, if we're going to go off and do things, I want to have an asset in making sure that people can walk afterwards.
Ah, oh, that's good, too.
Yeah, you bet.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.